Well, good afternoon and welcome. This is Mike Harris, broadcasting on VeteransToday.com, also on FreedomSlips.com, Studio B, Revolution Radio. Today is Tuesday, May 24th, 2016, and my guest today is writer and editor for Veterans Today, Dr. Preston James. Preston, welcome to the show, sir.
Well, thanks for having me on, Mike.
Hey, it's good to have you. You know, I mean, you and I are, you've kind of become buddies here over the years.
Yep.
That's how it works, right?
Yeah.
So, what's new in your world?
Well, yeah, as you know, we always end up with heavy discussions, important things. And one of the things I was thinking about, which goes back to some of your statements 2-3 years ago, where you warned about the coming invasion of illegal immigrants and also the legal H-1B-1 immigrants, and how the globalist, free trade things were all designed to be a secret, covert takedown of America. And so I was thinking about this morning. I was thinking, you know, if this country is going to survive this onslaught, which is really a major onslaught on every front, we are going to have to do some very difficult things as a people to take back America and make sure that it remains a constitutional republic, because we're not too far away from losing it all. So I was just thinking about, you know, where do you start? And of course, the best military strategist, if you go back to some of the original teaching at the War College and West Point and stuff, they talk about going for the head of the snake, that you take out command and control. Now, we know that the Khazarian Mafia, which runs the banksters and the command and the control of this globalist New World Order agenda, we know that these people play with very hard rules of engagement. We know this, that they, if a president gets out of line, they smear him, take him down. If they don't conform, then they take him out. You know, they've killed a number of our presidents. So the bottom line is, they've had these extreme rules of play. They've used the intelligence agencies to murder actually thousands of Americans, whistleblowers and people that tried to change things. They've done a lot of it with covert means of murder, the untraceable poisons, all kinds of things, Venus gun, things that stop their heart. I guess the thing is, if we are going to win this war, not only are we going to go for the head of the snake, which includes these people doing this and all their cutouts, we are going to have to eliminate these criminal agencies, the Federal Reserve, the Central Intelligence Agencies. We're going to have to bust out 50, 60, 70% of the people in Congress or anybody who signed a loyalty agreement.
That's 99% of Congress.
Well, then they all got to go.
That's really on the face, at face value, that's treason against the United States.
Take all their assets, hang them, you know, whatever it is. But the bottom but what we have to do is we got to attack the CIA surrounding with the Fifth Army. We got to take it completely down, rip open all their records. Everything has to be put out into the public domain, except for launch codes and certain crypto things. But we've got to take down Area 51, S4, all these secret government things, EG&G, all these companies. Got to arrest and jail all the top leadership if they don't give up freely. Then we need to, you know, I'm not in favor of all these signed findings and assassinations over terrorism stuff. But, you know, the very people that are doing this are the world's biggest terrorists. And if they want to play by that game, then the same rules of engagement should be used against them. And we need to have some, you know, some military force inside our government that's decent and will go out and take these people out if they're not concerned. Use the same rules of play they've used. If we use the same rules of engagement on them, we're talking about either arresting, trying and hanging, or if it comes down to it, assassinating, legal murder because of what they've done to us. We're talking about a declaration of war against them. Maybe 200 key people would change the whole thing. It would turn the tide immediately overnight. That's the way
Well, I've had this discussion privately with Gordon, and he thinks that in this country, between 7,000 and 9,000 people, that if they didn't exist, this country would spin on a dime, and would recover like nobody's ever seen it before. But this whole illegal immigration issue, we're seeing it in the U.S. We're seeing it in Europe now. This is by design. This was engineered to be this way. This goes back to 1965 when they threw out the very functional immigration code and replaced it with that Immigration Reform Act of 1965.
That's right.
This has been going on for a long time. I got on the bandwagon for this because I opposed the first Reagan amnesty. I thought, no, this is a mistake. So they're going to give an amnesty. They'd be back asking for an amnesty in 5, 10, 20 years. And then they'll want another amnesty. Then they'll want one after that. And that's exactly what's happening. You know, they're coming back. They're trying to call it something different, whether it's a path to citizenship. It's the same crap. It's another amnesty. And, you know, the problem is we've got the tools to deal with it right in front of us. You know, we've got these laws that say, look, if you hire an illegal alien to cut your lawn, or if you hire one to cut the heads off a chicken at the Tyson factory, you're going to get fined $10,000 and 6 months in prison for every one of them you hire. And we need to start enforcing this on a wholesale level. Like I said, if you would go out and just take three of the Fortune 50 companies out there, just three of them, make examples of them, you know, jail their board of directors, jail their top 50 managers, fine them $10,000 a head for every illegal that they've got hired. Just do that to three of them. I guarantee you there'd be, you know, 6 million pink slips going out the next day and another 15 million the week after that.
Well, it's a fact. But look, how about the perps for 911? We know everybody involved. We know who planted the bombs. We know where they stored them. We know the whole story. These people are walking free. They've committed a mass murder, conspiracy to murder, conspiracy to cover up. The people involved in the cover up, the Hellerstein, these crooked judges, these are all capital offenses, accessories after the crime. People have died because of the cover up that were denied decent medical care. I mean, this is serious stuff, and these little criminals walk around and laugh and joke and think it's hilarious that they're sucking off the American tit, getting away with this stuff.
Well, you know why we had 9/11? Because they got away with murdering JFK.
That's right.
Because they say, hey, look, we killed an American president in broad daylight on TV. You know, and we did it. And we can do it again. Let's think bigger this time. We need a new Pearl Harbor event is what these that guy Robert Kagan from whatever institute he's with came out and said. And by golly, they created one. And these people are not good Americans. These people are the death of America. These are the people who want to take this country down. And Preston, you're exactly right. If we don't do something now, we're going to be too far down the slippery slope. I mean, you know, first thing these Mexicans do when they get here is they have a kid, squirt one out.
Yeah.
And now we have an automatic American citizen who is no more American than the man in the friggin' moon. Yeah. But yet we've nobody's ever challenged that provision of the 14th Amendment in the Supreme Court. And I tell you, with the Supreme Court we've got now, I'm afraid to challenge it because they're going to roll.
Well, of course, yeah, yeah. Well, they're all bought and sold. And we know for a fact five of them are blackmailed, you know, and controlled. It's disgusting. Well, yeah, it's just what is amazing, though. I think a good place to start is with the perpetrators that did 911. We've got hundreds of people who will come forth and testify. We've never had any kind of an honest investigation. It's all completely covered up. The people that did it, the people that ran the cover up, and the people in the media that were complicit in telling lies, they all need to be brought to justice as at a minimum accessories after the fact. You start taking some of these media moguls and hanging them for capital crimes, you watch the fear spread.
Well, that's the other thing is Hollywood. They need to be held accountable for their contribution to the propaganda lies that they've used to distort the truth, and they've used to blind the American people to the reality around them of what's really going on with a false story of what a false narrative, if you will. But I read Fulford's column this week, and
yes.
They brought up something in there that I talked about a long time ago, and that was, you know, using what the Bush administration did in Iraq. you get a deck of 52 cards and you assign a card to, you know, one of these evil perpetrators, you know, Dick Cheney. I mean, he'd probably be, you know, maybe the King of Spades or something. He's way up there, you know, I mean, and you assign, you know, the Jack of Spades to this Kagan fella, and maybe the Queen to this Victoria Nuland. And you start going after these people. And, you know, in the context that Fulford put up there, he said that the Chinese dragon family, you know, the White Dragon Society, is going to offer bounties on these people who are standing in the way of really a reset of the economic system and, you know, essentially a functional financial system that works. And, you know, these people who are benefiting from the current setup we have, it ain't us. You know, it's a very, very small select group, and they want to hang on to their power. They worked hard to get there. They had to do a lot of conniving, cheating, stealing, and murder to get there. They don't want to give it up easy. And so I think the idea of putting a cash bounty in all gold against anybody who can bring in one of these 52 people who get named, I think is a good start. And I think what you're going to do after you watch about the fourth or fifth one go, you're going to watch these people start to get nervous. I mean,
they'll be fueling up their aircraft to fly to Paraguay. But
to go where? You know what? Yeah. Because you circulate these decks of cards worldwide. You put them in every airport. You put them in every bus station, every train station. You mail a package to every home around the world. You mail a pack of these cards. If you see this guy or this woman, the bounty on them is, you know, 200 pounds of solid gold. If you can bring us the head and the hands, it's yours to collect. And that's what they've been doing to the rest of the world for thousands of years.
That's right.
They don't mind putting a bounty on your head and your hands, separated from the rest of you. They don't mind doing that, and they do it with great aplomb because they want to incite fear and obedience into you. And it's time that we put fear and obedience into them.
Well, there's another factor here, and that is you know the game, how they have primed the pump with China, shifted the monetary system with China, and then the game will be to stress China and break them internally and then come along and rescue them with, you know, bring them deeper into bondage. That's the old Khazarian mafia bankster game. Well, the Chinese are on to that now. I had a friend who told me that studied Chinese and lived there, and he said they don't ever forgive. They hold long grudges going back hundreds of years. Have you ever heard that before?
Yes, I have.
And that they're still angry. Grudges. Well, he said they're still angry about the railroad thing where they brought all those Chinese over and abused them on the railroad. Thousands of them died, you know, were maltreated when they built the railroads in the United States. And he said that they blame the United States for the rape of Nanking, for arming the Japanese and not doing anything. They have a lot of grudges against America but you see, now they know that it's the Khazarian mafia. It's not just the average American. So this, and of course, as you know, it's the old warlord system, which some people went covert through into the Freemasonry system for cover, but it's this covert old warlord system that is really, really angry at the Khazarians, and like Fulford mentions them. And the question is, do they have the ability to start a covert assassination campaign? I would say yes, they do, because they've got martial artists all over the United States, people that nobody would suspect. And, you know, the United States...
It's not just the United States. If you look at the propagation of martial arts around the world, I mean, I've traveled the world. I mean, I've gone to karate schools everywhere you can imagine. I've gone to a karate school just to walk in the door. And, you know, I mean, usually if I'm there, it doesn't matter where I go, what part of the world. It does not matter what part of the world I go. I am within two, maybe three people to knowing somebody that they know, somebody that they trained with or something. You know, it's just how it is. I mean, in the United States, it's usually one or two people. because I've been doing this a long time. But I've been into karate studios in Europe. I've been to them in the Philippines. I've been to them in Malaysia. I've even went to Kung Fu in Sichuan, China, because I had to do it. Went past the Kung Fu school, said, I got to come back here. And I made my two guys bring me back later that day, went back there and trained. You know, hey, that's what you do. Just as a guest, you walk in, you're very humble. And you know what? You know somebody that they know who knows you. And there is a bond there with this. And you know, if they ever turn that loose on the world in a productive way, like we're talking about here, it would be very interesting. Let's just say that.
But do you agree that the Chinese hold grudges and they do have capabilities that the West really isn't aware of?
Yes, they do. And if you listen to Gordon's dialogue, I mean, people have been following this radio show for. God, it's coming up on 6 years I've been doing this. It'll be 6 years in November that I've been doing radio. Never meant to do it ever. It was sort of an accident. But, you know, Gordon and I have had discussions on the air about how the Chinese have aligned themselves with an extraterrestrial group. Now, I don't know who they are, what they are, but this is a different group they're aligned with than this reptilian group that runs the West, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like I said, I don't know anything about this. I have no proof. I have nothing. This is just idle speculation, folks. So take it with a grain of salt. But it's a different group that's aligned themselves with the Chinese, and they're doing technology transfer in order to, you know, fortify their positions on this. So anyway, I just toss that out there because it is just a data point. Like I said, I cannot corroborate this, folks. Just take it as idle speculation on my part.
Well, what do you think about Fulford's hypothesis that the Khazarian mafia is now being cornered, that the whole world is after them, that their cover has been completely blown? Do you accept that?
Well, I do, and you know, I think you and I had a piece of this.
Yeah.
You know, I really do. And I think a lot of people who have had a piece of this. And speaking about Fulford, by the way, I've got an interview scheduled with him. He'll be on next Tuesday, folks. A week from today, we'll have Ben Fulford on. So just want to let you know. Most of you don't know, but I'll tell you, I have to pre-record this because of the 14-hour time difference. So it'll be recorded at 9 a.m. His time, which is like, you know, 6 in the evening for me. But it'll be a pre-recorded interview, but it'll be a fresh pre-recorded interview. So let me state that.
Well, that's good. That'll really be good.
So,
but, yeah, he believes that they're cornered, that without secrecy, they can't function effectively. Do you agree with that?
No. Oh, the Khazarian mafia? No, they need the cloak of darkness. They need to be hidden in the shadows in order to function. Because it's what they do. I mean, you look at just the little things. I mean, you've got a nice, upstanding white neighborhood, and next thing you know, there's drugs showing up. And who's bringing the drugs in? I'll tell you who. It's the Khazarian mafia. That's who it is. And next thing you know, they got somebody selling it at the high school to your kid.
Yeah.
And then there's a strip club opens up, and there's this and that and the other thing, and you know, all of this stuff, it all goes hand in hand. All of these industries that are tied to vice go straight back to the Khazarian mafia.
Why do these Khazarians like to wallow in the filth so much? I mean, they really love it. Get right down in the muck. What is it about? Is it genetic? What is it?
I think it's their mission to do that. They is to downgrade and break the culture of the host country that they're in. And in this case, it's our turn in the barrel here. They're after us. We had a pretty good ride after World War II, and you know, actually they moved in much earlier than that. They moved in when this was still a frontier, an expanding frontier. And we've never gotten rid of them, but they had a great ride after World War II, and now it's time to harvest, you know, the wealth that we've accumulated and built up over these generations of having Europeans and on this continent.
Well, another subject I want to get into is the drug cartels. What really peeves me, and I have talked to DEA and undercover agents and gotten the full story from them. And there's been a lot of frustration in the honest ones. And here we got these Mexican, these Central and South American drug cartels. Now, you want to talk about real terrorism against the United States. They bringing drugs in across the country is an act of terror. We have been arming them. The CIA Operation Fast and Furious was not just to arm the Mexican cartels. It was also to arm other cartels and to ship, high-impact weapons to ISIS, which is the American-Israeli-Turkish-Saudi mercenary force. And what really bothers me is here we're going to go after these imaginary enemies that supposedly did 9-1-1 in the Mideast, and yet the biggest attack on America of all is coming from these drug cartels. But the reason we don't attack them is because they're all in business with the Khazarian Mafia and partners with the CIA and the Mossad.
No, exactly right. I mean, that's exactly true. And really, if you want to stop the drug problem, legalize it.
Well, that's
make
right.
Make it cheap as rat poison. Take the take the profit motive out.
And they'll say what you talk to the seasoned retired drug agents, and they'll tell you that. Well, when they got to a certain level of investigating it, they were told to back off or else, and they keep pushing. Why? Why should I back up? And they're saying it's a national security operation. We're using it for intelligence purposes that are much more important than
people. We're going after Mr. Big. Yeah. Mr. Big never gets caught. I mean, that's Mr. Big intervening and saying, look, don't go any further.
Yeah.
You've taken a bite out of my profits. That's all you get. You got your 1,000 pounds. This year, go sit on the bench the rest of the time. We don't need you.
Yeah. But really, there's no excuse. These cartels should be completely taken down, given 48 hours to surrender. And if they don't, just carpet bomb them. Tell everybody in the air, get out of the air, because we're going to get them. They could be tracked down with the electronic intelligence we have. We could eliminate all of them within 2 weeks. And it should be done. But the problem is that's going to take us right into Mossad headquarters. It's going to take us right into Langley, into MI6. These various agencies are going to have to be under direct assault by the American Army and the military. And they're going to have to be taken.
I tell you, Preston, I'm losing my confidence in the American military.
Yeah.
And, one of the things I've advocated before and I'll advocate for again is we need to rebuild the American military from the ground up. Every officer we have currently needs to be cashiered out. Everyone.
That's right. That's right.
Because they are not thinking correctly, and we should go into the best and brightest of the non-coms and start promoting from within to build ourselves a truly robust officer corps, take down the service academies, retire all of the people who are working there, and bring in fresh people who have not been tainted. This American general who went to Syria day before yesterday, wait a minute, bub. We had the Saudis admit that they're a state sponsor of terrorism. And now we have an American general on the ground in Syria illegally training and arming militants to take down the Assad regime, which is duly elected. And he says that they're going after ISIS.
Yeah, right.
If you're really going after ISIS, coordinate with the Assad regime and coordinate with the Russians and truly crush them. Don't feed me bullshit and try to tell me it's chocolate mousse. Because it's not. And it may look the same. It may be the same consistency and color, but it's not.
But if you want to take out ISIS, take out the top leadership in Turkey, the top leadership in Saudi Arabia, top leadership in Israel, and top leaders, Khazarian Mafia leadership in the Pentagon, in the CIA, and that's it. There is no ISIS.
Well, it was Gaddafi who said, if you want to stop all terrorism in the world, detonate a nuclear weapon in the city of London.
That's right.
And that'll do it. But no, I mean, I've been advocating for the Assad regime because they have grounds. They have legal standing to defend themselves against those who are acting aggressive to their duly elected office and to their country, their culture, and their people. And I hear our break music.
All right.
We'll be right back, folks, in a couple minutes more with Dr. Preston James. Stick with us. Well, good afternoon. Welcome back. This is Mike Harris broadcasting on VeteransToday.com, also on FreedomSlips.com. Today is Tuesday, May 24th, 2016, and my guest today is Dr. Preston James. Preston, welcome back, sir.
Thanks, Mike.
But no, I mean, really, we've got a lot of must-do things. And I was talking with a friend of mine the other day, and one of the problems, why you can't get people excited in this country, why nobody gets up off the sofa, is because of the drug problem. And I'm not talking the illegal drug problem. I'm talking the pharmaceutical drug problem. I'm talking about people who take Xanax or Valium, and then they go have a glass of wine or two or three. And these, you know, you look at the drugs like Xanax, Valium, Ativan's another one. These drugs are meant to alleviate your anxiety and to eliminate your feeling of stress. So if you don't have anxiety and you don't feel it, it doesn't make you uncomfortable. You don't worry about things. You don't care about things. You intensify that with a glass or two or three of wine. And next thing you know, you care less. Nothing gets under your skin. Nothing bothers you. Yeah. And so, you know, you look at how many people in the United States, working people who are stressed out of their friggin' minds because the load that is imposed upon them just to keep their lousy job or this crummy economy is so great that they would melt down if they didn't medicate. And so that is one of the tools that's being used to keep people passive in this country. That and the fact that the American people are absolutely misinformed.
Well, that's right. But what do you think the effects of the commercial processed food that has such high rates of sugar and fat and salt in it? I think that people are satiated by fast food, that it's almost has a drug effect on them.
Well, that I don't know about. I do know it makes them fat, gives you heart disease, and does a lot of other things to you as well. But I want to, you know, take a moment here to say a word about this glycophosphate problem.
Yes, yes.
I just read an article the other day that said 100% of the people of Portugal are testing positive for glycophosphates in their urine. Now, we know that glycophosphate is an endocrine disruptor, but it's also a hormonal disruptor. Now, folks, what glycophosphate does to you in the short term is it makes women fat and makes men into fairies, faggots. You know, I mean, it makes them not men. They're not manly. It turns their grapes to raisins. It makes their desire to do any manly things go away. And then, you know, then I look at, you know, currently I'm in Jackson County, Oregon. And last summer, I was driving down a rural road in Jackson County, and I came upon this crew, and they were spraying on the side of the road. So I pulled up alongside. And I said, "What are you guys spraying?" "Roundup." Glycophosphate. And so you look at how widespread this poison is. It's everywhere in the world. I mean, California wines, I won't drink them anymore because they test positive for glycophosphates. And you know, there's, how do you protect yourself against something that has been made so ubiquitous? You know, people spray it on their lawns. It's on the golf course. It's on the side of the road where they're spraying it. It's at your kid's school. It's everywhere. It's sprayed out on the field so that the corn doesn't have to compete with the crabgrass. You know, it's really kind of silly how we've come so far down this way. And, you know, I look at the Russians, and they say, nope. No GMOs, no glycophosphates. You can keep your poison to yourselves in the West. And it seems like Europe is getting on the bandwagon and figuring out that, hey, this stuff isn't good for us. And it's about time the American people did the same thing. Because you know what? Every woman I know would like to lose that extra fat. And I don't know many men who want to be a Casper milk toast, or a Don Knotts on a good day.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and that's what's doing to them. It's a feminizing men. What happened, you know, to the men of just the 1960s and 70s? I mean, hey, when I was a kid, we had a fight in school every day.
Yeah.
And you don't see that anymore. Well, it's zero tolerance.
Yeah.
You know, my ass, zero tolerance. when you're young boys and you're between that age of 14 and 18, you get in fist fights. It's just yep. what you do.
Yep.
You know, I mean, not every day, maybe not even once a year, but you know what? Occasionally it does happen. Not these days. It's all been, yep. you know, Kim treated out of them.
Well, part of the problem is people care more about having a manicured lawn than they do about having a government cleaned out of all the corruption. And, you know, there is a guy, Louis Champagne, who had a Champagne natural cherry flavoring, and the CIA ripped him off, and you know his product ended up producing certain toxic poisons, and they stole them and used them in the first World Trade Center bombing and all that, tried to frame him, and he was eventually thanks to the detective work of James Rothstein, he was let go, and they found out that he hadn't done anything, but he invented a means to kill weeds using peppers, shipped in hot peppers and a certain solution. And I mean, it killed all the weeds and didn't harm the grass. And I think he eventually moved out of the country. But you know, if people really put a lot of time and energy into this kind of research, there's no need for Roundup. There are ways to get rid of weeds without using toxic chemicals. But they've made it so cheap. And, you know, the results are so quick that, you know, that's it's like endemic to everything.
It's easy and we're lazy. I remember as a kid, my grandma used to haul me out in the garden with her and say, pick weeds.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I remember being a kid and having to go out with those little dandelion, that little forked thing, that little digger thing. You have to. My dad used to make me go out and get the dandelions out of the lawn.
Yep.
Pull them out. Goes, you can get the roots because they'll come back.
Yeah.
But, you know, we don't do that anymore. Everybody wants to do the easy thing. They spray something on it. But we're poisoning ourselves. We're poisoning the entire planet. We're seeing changes in everything from, the game and the fish and everything else. Do you know why we don't see monarch butterflies anymore?
Yeah, why is that?
Because Roundup kills milkweed. Milkweed is what the monarchs live on.
Wow. Yeah,
you know, I remember playing the milkweed when I was a kid. Milkweed was fun to play with. You break off a piece, and by golly, this milk white stuff comes out. You can rub it all over yourself.
Yeah,
I mean that's what I did as a kid. You know, and
I hadn't seen any monarchs for about 5 years. That would explain it. Yeah,
but the Roundup is extremely effective in taking out the milkweed. Well, if there is no milkweed, there's no monarchs because they got nothing to eat. That's what they live on.
Wow. Well, again, it comes down to, is this just pure corporate greed, or is there a little more to the story? And I personally believe that you have a little group of wrinkled up old guys, some of them in wheelchairs, sitting around plotting all this crap. Gee, how can we testosterone, the male species? How can we make them pushovers? How can we steal all their money? How can we transform into serfs? And how can we kill them off covertly? I think there's eugenics here at the basis of all this.
Well, you know, I think you very well might be right. The fact that Monsanto has known this for a number of years and is coming out, is going to continue to come out. That was one thing about the year 2012. You know, that 12-12-12, that was supposed to be the year that the veil was lifted and that all things that were hidden will become known.
Yeah.
And we're 4 years down, 3.5 years down the path here, and we're seeing a good start.
Yeah, I think things have changed, and I will credit the internet with a lot of that. You know, the truth resonates with people. So you have all these Khazarian mafia intercept sites or set up stooge sites, and they can't get any viewers at all unless they use basic facts, limited hangout. They have to admit a certain amount. The really sophisticated ones are in the 80-90% range, and then they try to deliver a periodic bad payload. But what happens is the average internet user is a multitasking type person, and they'll go from one site to the next, and they'll put together in their mind, they'll connect all the dots and come up with their own conclusion, and they'll ignore the crap. And they believe that, you know, they've come to believe that there's misinformation on every site that has to be vetted out by their own background checking and whatever, and they'll do the research. So what you're finding is we're getting a quite sophisticated young internet surfer that's coming up with a lot of information. when I was involved in the Ron Paul thing in you know, the last election where the Republican Party pulled all these dirty tricks on everything, I started meeting with some local groups, got to know a bunch of these young computer nerd type guys, and I was really shocked at the level of sophistication that they'd come to just from studying things themselves. That, you know, these people didn't know anything about the CIA covert operations or anything, but they ended up with the same conclusions that I had from being involved in all this crap over the years, and it kind of shocked me. So there's a lot of power that's been unleashed through the internet.
Well, there is, and I think your point is well taken, that the younger users in particular are learning discernment at an early age, because it's something that, you know, when we grew up, we believed everything. You know, we had a news media that was far more truthful than what we have now. And you know, I was talking to, you know, Alex Powers earlier today. We were talking about, he says, I'm watching CSNBC on the IPTV. Boy, they really piss me off because they're so biased. They're not telling the truth. They're telling a bunch of lies. And, you know, he was right on about it. You know, that you can tell now when the mainstream media is lying. And I'll give you another example. Remember before Cruz dropped out of the race?
Yes.
And that, you know, Trump came out, he picked up the story that Madsen got it from somebody else who was then subsequently found dead a day and a half later.
Right, that's right. The guy missed,
And so, but the story about Ted Cruz's dad being at Daley Plaza during the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah, and knowing Oswald being part of that Alpha 66 operation.
Yeah, and so everybody on Fox and CNN and CSNBC, they were all saying, oh, no, that's just ridiculous. Everybody knows that Oswald killed Kennedy. You know, they're 50-something years later, and they're still drinking the Kool-Aid and promoting the big lie. And, you know, talking to people, it's because the CIA is what runs our news media.
Yes, it is.
It seems that the CIA has tasked themselves illegally with censoring the news and trying to give us a perspective that will help the agenda that they promote. And, you know, these are the ones who are smuggling drugs, backing the cartels, reaping the profits from it for their black ops. These are the ones who are promoted Bill and Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama too, I think. I don't know for sure, but Bill and Hillary, those are gimmies. They were cutouts.
Well, Barack Obama's career CIA, just like his mother and his father, whichever one of the two it was probably a pornographer in Hawaii. But yeah, no, he's he's career CIA. He's a CIA little finder's boy. Everybody knows that.
And you know, this all goes back to George H.W. Bush, and it all goes back to him. And, you know, how come, why is that, why is he and Henry Kissinger still walking around alive?
Well,
come somebody hadn't walked up behind him and put a salad fork into the base of their neck? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just something. You know, all you got to do is just separate that second and third cervical there, and they'll go down like a friggin' rock. And, you know, how come somebody hasn't, you know, a salad fork, a butter knife, something?
I mean, because the people around them that should be staging a coup d'etat in the military don't do it because they've profiled on that and they're all in. They're giving them such lavish rewards and stuff. They have way too much vested interest to lose because there's no true Americans left. You know,
let's talk about this and see. You know, this is why I want to revamp the service academies. I mean, from the ground up, this is why I want to, you know, cashier the entire officer corps of the United States. Fire them all.
Yeah.
Everybody who's a second lieutenant and up, get them out of there. And let's promote non-coms from within. There are some smart, very, very capable non-coms out there. Trust me on this one. I mean,
That's right. Well, especially in the Navy, too. The people that really run the ships, right?
Well, people who really run the ships, people who really run the Army, people who really run the Marine Corps. You know, these guys may have all their great strategic thoughts and this and that, but you know what? They've all been corrupted and biased, and the service academies are where it starts.
Yep.
Because what scares this Khazarian mafia in the CIA and all of the appendages of this evil mechanism that runs this country and runs most of the world, actually, is the last thing they want is to have another general like patent.
Yeah.
Who's going to say, you know, nope, I know what the truth is. All I need is enough gasoline. I'm going to Moscow. They can't stop me.
Yeah.
You know, they, and so they had him off. They had him killed.
Yeah.
And so they
Truman signed the order.
Yeah, Truman signed the order, huh?
Yeah.
And then you look at the dispute between MacArthur and Truman, where MacArthur wanted to, hey, look, we've got the men, the material, let's go all the way to China. And yeah.
Truman called
him home, said, nope, you're, and fired him. And you know, MacArthur was kind of on my list as not really being that great of a guy.
Yeah.
Because he's the guy who fired on the veterans on Washington. Washington Mall.
That's right.
You know, they want guys who are going to take orders and kiss their ass no matter
That's
what.
Right.
No matter if it's right, wrong, or in between. They're going to take the order and they're going to kiss their ass. And I want people in there who are going to do the right thing for the American people. I don't want these phonies, these frauds in there anymore.
Well, the reason that they didn't, that Truman would not allow the war in China was very simple. It was because the CIA, which actually was the OSS at the time before it shifted into the CIA, they were the ones that put Mao in power and pushed Chiang Kai-shek out. It was China, communist China was basically a banker's operation right from the start. So, you know, when you go in and declare war on communist China, what you're doing, it's like taking on the city of London directly. And, you know, that was, you know, they're never going to do that. And of course, the Chinese people now living under the shadow of the Khazarian bankers, and they're trying to break free of that.
Well, I remember earlier talking about how the Chinese were angry with the U.S. for arming Japan. And people don't remember this, but, you know, look at that Tom Cruise movie, The Last Samurai. They had the U.S. Army in Japan to modernize the army, retire the samurai tradition of Japan, and put in a U.S. military model, which is what the entire movie was about. And people don't see that and don't connect the dots. But that's exactly what that was, and that's what the U.S. has been doing for a very, very long time.
Right.
I do not like how our foreign policy is conducted. You know, that's why I do the things I do. That's why I do this radio show. That's why I go to Syria. That's why I put an article up now and then on Veterans Today. This is why, is to fight against this, to stop it, and to bring sanity to this world, not this crazy stuff. Okay, I don't know what that noise was. Preston, you there? I think Preston just had a microphone failure. I know he's had trouble with this before. So we'll try. He just hung up. I'll have Brett try to call him back here in a second or two. Let's give him a minute if he's got a microphone issue. But we've only got 3 or 4 minutes until we have our next break. But folks, these are the things that you have to look at. You have to look at what's going on, not just this week, but look back at the historical footprints. And, you know, many of you have heard me talk about there is something out there that is shaping human events that's taking place over hundreds of years. You know, the human lifespan, the human time scale doesn't allow for that. There's something else out there that is shaping human events. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's somebody from the future changing
All right.
the past. I don't know if it's some interdimensional being. I don't know if it's an alien. I don't know if it's some 5,000-year-old guy who's just, you know, looks like he's 25 and walking around among us. I have no idea. But something out there is shaping human events on a time scale that cannot be explained with human lifespans. Preston, are you back with us?
Yeah, I am. You know, that when we start getting into, there are certain little areas where they get a red light on their screen that goes on, and that's when they hit the kill switch.
But so, what specifically were we talking about? Because let's go back to that. Let's try their patience.
All right, we were talking about, and this is never dealt with in the press, or most historians completely ignore this. We do not deal with the fact that you actually. as far as I'm concerned, you're the first one that ever brought this up, and that was like 3 years ago, how Bolshevism itself did not occur in some, you know, little back room. Bolshevism was created on Wall Street in the City of London, was financed by the bankers and the wealthy lumber barons, industrialists, and all this that funneled money there, and it was a huge experiment. And it was really nothing but a pure Khazarian mafia kill fest. And when they were done with that, they did the same dang thing in China with Mao. They took Chiang Kai-shek.
They did it in China. They did it in Armenia. They're doing it in Syria today.
It's all about death. They create this. They go in there and create a vacuum of control, and then move in. You know, they cannot move in unless they completely destabilize a nation, take down all its institutions, you know, and raise it right. Take it right to the ground and then start over. And they're going to go in there, and they're going to the first thing they're going to do is zero in on all the assets the country has, whether it's water, whether it's forestry, whether it's gold, silver, exotic minerals, oil. They're going to get it, and that's why they're going in there, to get it for free, to make money. And, you know, if you want to know who it is, it's not rocket science. All you have to do is go look at these big defense contractor corporations, Halliburton and all this, all these 147 world international corporations that are part of the Khazarian Mafia. And what you find is, and I had a friend research this, he said, it's shocking. You find the same families buying huge blocks of stock over and over and over again. And that family has their little puppet on each one of these boards. So you've seen the same guys over and over again on these interlocking boards. And they just keep scratching each other's back and getting richer and richer and richer. These families, Mike, have so much money that they don't know what to do with it. They can't smell their hoarding. It's like some kind of addiction. And all the machinations that they're conducting with banking, they're killing the goose that laid the golden egg. They're destroying their own system. They have some nihilistical murder everybody mass, you know, death philosophy where they it seems like they want to take the whole world down into complete destruction for this weird globalist agenda. It's the most bizarre thing. It's so psychotic. As a former psychologist, I can't even hardly believe it.
Well, I agree with you on everything you just stated there, but we'll be right back after this break, and I want to stay on this topic because these families need to have their own decks of cards. So, all right, we'll be right back in a couple of minutes, folks. More with Dr. Preston James right after this. Well, good evening and welcome back. This is Mike Harris broadcasting on VeteransToday.com, also on FreedomSlips.com. It's Tuesday, May 24th, 2016. My guest today is Dr. Preston James, writer and contributor for Veterans Today. So anyway, Preston, welcome back.
Thanks, Mike.
But no, really, these families who control so much and have done so much damage to the rest of the planet, the rest of the people who are alive, both currently and for the previous number of generations, you know, they there's a day of reckoning coming, and it needs to come sooner rather than later. And really, the biggest thing that's missing, I mean, a lot of people, you know, you and I, we talk about this, we have discussions, we know what needs to be done, we know how to do it. What's missing is the initiative, the actual leadership, the authority. If someone says, look, these people are a danger, they need to be removed. Someone with authority, if they would tell that to me, I would go out and do it. But until I have that authority, the powers that be are going to target me and take me down if I even do as much as lift a finger. And so we need to get into this where we grant ourselves our own authority, our own autonomy, our own sovereignty, and do what's right for the rest of mankind here.
Well, that's right. I'll tell you what will trigger it, though. See, the bottom line is the best thing would be if we had to, people like Jack Kennedy or Bobby Kennedy, people at the top that would, you know, an honest congressman that would create a tribunal and start arresting these people and trying them. I was hoping it would come from the military, the provost marshals, but you know, these families have too much control. But what will really trigger this, what you're asking for and hoping for, would be if they make a play for the guns, a serious play for the gun, they get some satanic witch like Hillary Clinton, and who's a pure CIA candidate. She's pure CIA, has been all of her life. her marriage to Bill was arranged. He's pure CIA, their case officer, George Herbert Walker Bush. And she's just there as a puppet. She's never held a real job any day in her life. She's never done anything. She's totally unqualified for anything. People in the White House worked with her. The Secret Service said that she's completely unqualified, that she's angry all the time. They used to call her Thunder Thighs because she'd storm around the White House. She'd tell the Secret Service to get away. We had them. The Clintons come to town here and stay in a hotel when they were putting on some political thing. And Bill had women lined up out in the hallway. He was screwing willingly all these women, friends of his. And Hillary had girlfriends out in the hall lined up down on another floor. So, I mean, that's the kind of crap that goes on with these people. Well, you know, when you don't have anybody like Kennedy in the Kennedy boys who will really, you know, do anything for the rule of law, and you get somebody like Hillary in that, yeah, she says she's going to get the guns, like she's going to be an extension of Obama. I call Obama Obama because of his drone attack program. But yeah, what's going to happen is she is nutty enough to sign all these presidential PDD orders and have people go door to door and try to take down whole cities and whatever. When they start doing that, they are going to awaken the sleeping giant. And what these people have drifted so far from reality because they've had so many privileges for so many years, they have no clue what the average American is capable of when they wake up. We got thousands of, actually millions of vets out there that are getting angrier by the day. And some of these people, if they're woken up, and they decide they're going to eliminate the enemy, you better believe, Mike, these people are going to have trouble.
Well, that's the point. And that's, you know, like my theme for this radio show is the Superman music. And the reason I play that is there ain't no Superman. This is something we have to do. This is something that each and every one of us is responsible for. And by golly, I hope Fulford is right. I hope that whatever this White Dragon Society is, issues a deck of cards with the right with the perpetrator's face on them and what their crimes are. And, you know, boy, once those are out there, I think it'll be short order. But, you know, something has got to happen. And the key thing that's lacking is leadership and initiative. And those are the things that, you know, we can't create. Those have to come from within ourselves. You know, they're not from an external source or from an internal source. And we just have to be willing to do it. And I saw a little news thing this morning about a guy who's really turned into one of my heroes. And that would be Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber. I'm going to recommend this, folks. Go out. It's on the internet. It's all over the internet. But you can download his manifesto. Read it. The guy makes perfect sense. He's not crazy. He's one of the most sane guys you'll ever listen to out there. He's sane. They've tried to paint him as being crazy because he took the initiative and he was effective. He didn't rely on anybody else. He got up off the sofa and he did it.
But was he sending out bombs in the mail? Did he really do that?
Sending out bombs in the mail. I mean, to the guys who would invent things like glycophosphate, you know, to the guys who would invent things that were harming the human race, is what he was doing, and they vilified him for this. Yeah. And you know, do I think a bomb in the mail is the right way? You know, whenever you've got people who are doing things that are harmful to the race of the rest of the race of mankind, do you have the right to take them out to defend yourself? Is that self-defense? I mean, think about this. This is a philosophical question here, and I want to ask it. Is the board of Monsanto and their top executives, are they committing crimes against humanity, and does humanity have the right to defend themselves against their aggressive crime to poison us? That's the question. And this is what this power structure doesn't want us to ask and doesn't want us to think about. But this is really the question of the day, folks. If Monsanto is poisoning my kids, do I have the right to hold them accountable and defend my children against their aggressive act of poisoning them?
Well, you know, you'd hope that there would be enough sanity in the courts and rule of law to bring them to justice. We know that there's numerous lawsuits.
Our courts are a joke.
Well, that's the problem.
These judges are bought and paid for. I mean,
they own them.
Let's call it what it is.
Yeah, they own them. So you see, then what options are there left for justice? Well, you know what happens when normal justice is denied. Over a period of time, anger grows to the point where you get vigilante law. Let's talk about a good example down in Kansas, small town in Kansas. There was this guy that had murdered a couple people and raped women and got away with it. He was a town bully. He bring a drive up in his pickup truck every day, go to the restaurant, and everybody'd clear out because he was such a nasty guy, and he got away with it. He was apparently related to the cops or whatever. One afternoon, this is about maybe 15, 20 years ago, about 30 people surrounded his pickup truck when he pulled in. He looked kind of surprised. What's going on here? Some guy took a high-powered deer rifle, put it up to the back window where he was sitting, and blew his brains out. And the people dispersed. The police came and wanted to know what happened. Their witnesses couldn't remember anything. Yeah, we walked over the car. We never saw anybody. You know who pulled the trigger? We don't know anything about it. Nobody ever, to this day, no one was ever caught. And that was just the end of it. And they haven't had any bullies there since.
I imagine not. But, you know, that's somehow that's how you need to deal with this. But, you know, the like I said, the philosophical question I'm trying to ask here is if a corporation, and in this case, I'm using Monsanto, but I'm sure there's others, you know, that have done, you know, other similar acts. But, you know, if they knowingly are poisoning our children, do we have the right to defend ourselves by taking their life? Do we have that right? Is it self-defense when it's a corporation run by a board of directors and a group of managers? I mean, like, I don't have a position on this. I'm trying to develop a position on this.
I would say if you can provably attribute knowledge to them. Because what happens in a lot of these corporations, you might have one CEO or one kingpin, or they might assign it over this particular product to one person. And that person may have knowledge of how harmful it is and never informed the board. But you see, there's been so much stuff in the literature the last 10 years, it's almost impossible to believe that they don't all have full knowledge and just don't care, isn't it?
Well, I think they have full knowledge. I think they see the profit margin. They want to keep getting rich. It's either that or they have a malintended agenda. Yeah. And I don't put that against him either, because you know what, you know, one of the things that this group has talked about for a long time is reducing the human population. One of the best ways to do that is to reduce the fertility rate. That's what these things do. Come on, let's call it like it is. You know, you know, if mankind has a flaw, it's that we have been too successful as a species breeding. And they're trying to ramp us back.
That's but, right.
You know, we've never had we've not been granted the ability to fully exploit our potential. We have been thwarted, and every time a civilization starts to get up and starts to reach for the stars, we are quickly taken down. Doesn't matter who.
That's right. Yeah. So I guess. It will be real interesting to hear what Ben Fulford says about this, because, you know, I think you can just forget secrecy anymore. I think it's over. I felt for years that there was going to be a complete end to secrecy. I think the internet itself is so powerful that anything that comes out, you have, you know, thousands of whistleblowers coming forth and old retired people that are ticked off. I think it's all coming out, and I think within the next year or two, unless they do something to really totally restrict the internet or take it down or start World War III or something, I think it's just a matter of time, and the American people, they're just going to rise up. Something's going to happen, because the economy is a vice, and it's tightening on their heads every day, and there's going to be a breaking point. You know, it's gotten so bad now with inflation and these various things, almost nobody can afford to live. And, you know, when I was a kid, I got a job in high school, $1.60 an hour. I could have an apartment, a car. I could live. It's ridiculous.
You know, I know. The thing of it is, if you do the math on that, and I've used this example before, but I'll do it again. Back when I, in 1968, when I was making $1.60 an hour for my first job at age 14, $1.60 an hour, if I was paid in silver coins, quarters and dimes, okay, I had 6 quarters and a dime. The weight in silver of that today is going to be over $20. So if you look at making $20 an hour on a 40-hour week, that's $800. Yeah, you can get an apartment. You can drive a car for that kind of money. And the issue is that it's not the minimum wage that's the problem. It's the fact that our money, our monetary system has debased the currency. Yep. And like I just said, when I was a kid, the money was made out of real silver. And today, if you look at the coins in your pocket, they are what we would call slugs. That good. Remember? Hey, I got a slug for the phone machine. Let's put it in there. I got a slug for the vending machine. That's what's passing as coinage today.
Yeah.
It has no value. Nothing that's left of our financial system has value. Federal Reserve notes don't have any value. They're a dead instrument. And I like it. You know, I love this. I love the fact that it says on there, legal tender for all debts, public and private. But try to pay cash on an airplane today. They don't want your cash. They want your debit card, your credit card. They want something electronic out of you. Yeah. And, you know, I think what the airlines are doing by refusing cash, I think, is illegal. But I think it would make one heck of a class action lawsuit.
Yeah, it would. That's a good point. Yeah, you know, look at the banks now. Ever since this recession, I knew people who lost 40-50% of their life savings and retirement, you know, funds and all that. That never came back. And their major lifestyles and jobs and everything else. But look at the decrease in interest rates. When you go to the bank, you know, there are people who have saved their whole lives, lived meager livings, worked hard. Blue-collar workers just worked their butts off their whole lives. They get to retire. They maybe saved up $50,000 to $100,000. And they were living all right off Social Security and the interest. They were getting 4, 5, 6% interest, and the money was stable. Now, when the inflation rate is minimum 9% a year, and the banks are paying no interest. So not only are they not earning anything, the value of their money is in 5 years, 50, you know, at least 50% of the value of their money is gone, maybe more. So the squeeze is on. All these people that saved money their whole lives, the money is so debased, like you say, that there's nothing left in 4, 5, or 6 years. Then what's going to happen?
Well, then that's when you're totally dependent on the government, and that's when they have control over you.
Yeah, and of course, then all they have to do is...
Why do you think the Democrats have such a large following? It's because we're going to give you more stuff.
We're gonna
raise your COLA limit on your Social Security check. We're gonna increase your welfare benefit. We're gonna increase your Section 8 housing benefit. We're gonna give you more in food stamps and the SNAP program. We're gonna do all these things for you because we care about you.
Yeah.
You know, that's how the Democrats get elected. It's not because they're doing anything good for anybody. It's because they got people who are dependent on them who need that to get by. I'm gonna vote for him because if I don't, I'm hurting now. I don't want to be hurting next year. I'm going to vote for this guy. Could at least give me a small raise.
Well, that's why they knowingly want all these big, bring all these all these illegal immigrants in, even the legal ones. But it goes even further than that. I believe that for many, many years, the Khazarian mafia has created a cesspool of filth in the cities and created mass poverty and drugs and all this stuff so that they have a hiding place. And they used Hollywood to drift the morality. It started out with the beat generation, but they've taken the most basic, you know, like rap music and all this crap and then acculturated into the mainstream teenage culture. And there's a reason they're spending millions to do that, because they want to create a hiding place themselves. It's very hard for people to react against what they do and how they live and all the sins that where they steal all our money and create bondage for us. It's very hard for the public to react against them if they're caught in the same trap of the filth. They're creating cover, aren't they, Mike?
Well, they are. And you bring up another point that's interesting, because in today's society, you cannot live without cash. You can't live without money. Doesn't matter where it comes from, whether it's a welfare program or a job or an inheritance. You can't live without it. Now, you go back to what we call the Great Depression, late 20s and 30s. We had 40% of the American population were living rural-based. Now, you may not have money to go to the store and buy something, but you could grow your own food. You weren't going to go hungry.
Yeah, but there were – how many millions died in the Depression? Do you remember?
I don't have an exact number.
Somebody said 4 million starved to death and died.
But it was a lot. And, you know, the same with the Dust Bowl. The Dust Bowl was created to get all those farmers and ranchers off the land so that Rockefeller could buy it and drill for oil.
And they did it through the fertilizer, didn't they, through – screwing up the fertilizer.
Well, yeah, that's an old tried and true. It's the products you put on the farmland that you know will kill off the plants. That's why this Monsanto thing is so critical, and that's why I frame it as, is this self-defense? I mean, are we defending ourselves by eliminating these people who are propagating these poisons throughout our environment and our world?
Well, the bottom line is, you know, they've got a total lock. They've centralized everything. They've taken all the large corporations and they picked the ones they like and brought them into their network, and the other ones they've destroyed. They've used pedophilia operations. They've used various kinds of blackmail and wholesale murder ops too. Anybody that won't play ball, they get them one way or the other. And if necessary, they
you bring up a good point. This is near and dear to my heart. But they pick their favorite big corporations. They've survived. The other ones have gone away. Motorola doesn't exist anymore. Yeah. It's gone. It was a Fortune 50 company. Wow. It was the number one or two producer of semiconductors in the world, and they are gone. They don't exist. You know, it's amazing to me that a Fortune 50 company can disappear, can be erased. I think that's amazing. That it just blows my mind.
Well, they consolidate all these American institutions they've infiltrated. Of course, they first infiltrated banking in 1913. Then once they had the keys to the kingdom, they could go and print or issue all the money they wanted. They bought up every single politician. Those they couldn't buy up, they'd compromise those pedophile operations and
prostitutes. Those couldn't compromise, they killed.
Exactly. And so now they own everybody. And they set up the media. And anybody that wouldn't play ball, they'd, like some corporation won't go along with them, they take another corporation that's one of their partner corporations and build them up. They'll lower the price, where I'll use all the old John D. Rockefeller techniques, lower the price for as long as it takes to bust out the system and then raise the price once your competition is eliminated.
Well, that's the Walmart model as well. But you talk about what's bad for business. I'll tell you what's bad for business is the Patriot Act.
Yes.
I mean to tell you, the Patriot Act is bad for business. Try to go into a major bank and open a business account. Oh, my goodness. It is truly an effort. But, these things aren't by accident. And, you know, President, I look at this and I think to myself, say, you know, these activities, this consolidation around the world, it doesn't seem like a human activity. People don't want to do these things. Everybody I know wants to run their own business, whether it's a hot dog stand, a pizza joint, a roofing company, a auto shop. Most people, they don't want to work for some other schlub. They want to do their own thing. They want to run their own show. And this whole corporate structure, this global consolidation that's been going on via the private equity model, it strikes me as something else. And so, you know, if I was to come to this planet someplace else, another system, if I was an extraterrestrial, and I looked at this and said, you know, I want to take this planet over. I want to do it in less than 500 years. I've got the time. My lifespan is 5,000 years. I can spend 500 years doing this. This is what I'd do. And I look at the various steps that our society has been progressing in, and I'm thinking, boy, this is exactly what I would do if I was coming here to conquer the damn place and take it over.
That's right. And you're exactly right. It is a supernatural threat. These are supernatural creatures, interdimensional. You know, David Icke, a lot of people are critical of him, but he has a lot of good stuff. He really does. And he says this is some kind of a being that lives intergenerationally, and their plans are not 10, 20, 100 years. They're thousands of years. And that's certainly the way it feels, because we know for a fact that the same families that are involved in this, they go all the way back to Rome and even beyond that. You know, it's the same filth. You know, it's like there's something really wrong with them. They don't act
I think the point is that, you know, if I was coming here from another solar system, And if I wanted to take the place over and I wanted to control the indigenous population, what would I do? And I look at the things that are going on in our country, our planet, our world. I think, gosh, these are some pretty effective moves to take it toward a globally consolidated, controlled of the indigenous peoples. And don't give them a voice. We'll tell them what to do because they're our slaves. They work for us.
Yeah, it's obvious that the centralization and consolidation into a pure middle hierarchy is the way to go, because then you can have one stooge at the top, some fat little satanic monster sitting in a wheelchair, has a bad day and said, we're going to get rid of the guns, put the order out. Then these two lieutenants say, Mr. So-and-so has just said no more guns. Then they take, a tribute, call so-and-so at the Federal Reserve, let's get $50 billion, hire some NGOs, let's get Soros involved here. We'll funnel the money to him. He can be the front man. We'll set up 25 NGOs, maybe a couple in each state if we can, and then we're going to involve all these civilian groups. You know, we'll start these fake civilian group. It's a whole process. They go through all this crap, and none of it works unless you've consolidated the power structure into this pyramid of control. And it's like a military. It's interesting you brought this up, because if you really look at the takedown of planet Earth, it really looks like a military operation. It has the same characteristics of what was done in like post-war Germany, you know, under the Marshall Plan. It's a military hierarchy. You got the general, lieutenants, and all this, all the way down. And it's very well organized, Mike, isn't it?
No, I absolutely agree. And I think this is, boy, if I wanted to take over a planet, these are some of the things that I do. And particularly if I had the advantage of a longer lifespan. Yeah. And you know, you're religious. You've read the Bible.
Yeah.
How long did Noah live?
I think 900 years or something like
that. Yeah, 983 years is how long Noah lived. Now think, you know, we're given our little 70, 75, 80-year lifespans here, you know, maybe. If we're lucky, don't have an accident or don't get sick, you know?
Yeah.
What could you accomplish in your life if you had a 983-year lifespan? If you hit 200 years and you're just coming into your own as a young man, think about it. And so, you know, I think that a couple of things have been done. I think that mankind has been manipulated to have an artificially short lifespan. And I think this plays to the advantage of whoever our would-be or whoever our conquerors are, because I don't know. I mean, if we've been conquered, they haven't announced it yet. I don't think they'd have get much buy-in from the public. But they're certainly influencing from the shadows.
Well, I've studied this stuff for over 30 years and talked to people involved at the periphery of all this, and very, very wealthy people. And what I'm told is that the secret societies are the cover for this. There's a worldwide satanic cult. And that I've had people tell me, well, they're not in it, but they know people that are, and they're told on the sly that we can't talk about this. But when you get into this cult at a certain level, you actually have relationships with interdimensional spirits. You get spirit guides, all these various things, and then they kind of shut up, say, well, we can't talk about it. But when they're telling people this, they're telling them as a means to recruit them, I think, you know, see if they're really interested or not. And so the people that get recruited say no more, and the ones that do talk about this are ones that refuse to be recruited, but they don't really know the full story. But I really believe one individual once told me that there was very rigid rules of play as to what these people could do and what they could not do. They had to tell the public everything in advance, like give informed consent. That's why you have the documents from the British Roundtable published, whether, you know, the Rhodes Scholarship documents, all these various.
You know what? I kind of don't buy that.
You don't?
You know, I don't buy the consent thing. You know, I don't buy that.
Well, they're not giving us consent, but it's a feeble effort to.
Well, but you know, I said, you know, this whole, and I'm gonna challenge religion here. You know, I mean, the Christians always say, well, you know, turn the other cheek. You know, that thing to turn the other cheek is though to induce you to not clock the guy who just slapped.
Not the ones I know.
That's kind of what it is. And the other thing is out of the Hindu religion, says, oh, well, his karma will get him.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Yeah. I've been waiting for karma to take care of some bad people for a long time. I haven't seen it lift a finger yet.
What I was getting at, Mike, though, is they put up stone monuments like the Georgia Guidestones and all these things where they say, you know, they release these white papers and all these things. It's all there. They somehow believe that they are required to give some kind of notice. So once they've done that, you know, like how in my city, when the city's going to tear up some place or condemn some house or something,
like the bank has to put a notice on your
right.
door before they evict you.
Nobody reads it, you know. Nobody reads these notices in the paper except for a few professionals.
All right, well, when we come back, I want to talk about this religious thing because, you know, a lot of people think that religion has been used to manage humanity. And
Of course it has.
I want to talk about that more directly on the other side of this break. Be right back with Preston James right after this short break. Well, good evening and welcome back. This is Mike Harris broadcasting on VeteransToday.com, also on FreedomSlips.com, Tuesday, May 24th, 2016. And my guest is Dr. Preston James. Preston, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
I was watching something on the IPTV the other day, which we're getting ready to launch here. It just depends on when the technical guys release it. But it was a cop show. And these two cops were talking and said, yeah, had these two guys, they were both crazy. You know, one guy thought he was the devil, the other guy thought he was God. The other cop says, well, what'd you do? We put him in a cell together. Other cop says, well, what happened? They started fighting. Well, who won? The other cop says, it was a draw. Really, a draw? He goes, yeah, but the devil had better moves. it was just kind of funny. It kind of just struck me as one of those funny things, you know. But this whole thing of religion being used to control humankind, and
it's a fact. It's a fact, and it really all ends up at the Vatican if you want to get technical about it.
But to what end? And you know, I mean, religion's an old thing, but you know, the Vatican was really instrumental in wiping out all of the indigenous religions, and I don't just mean in North America and South America. They wiped out all the indigenous religions throughout Europe, everywhere. They wiped them out. They killed them. Any of the people who had Odinist beliefs or anything that didn't conform with what the Vatican said it had to do.
What the Vatican was spreading was not Christianity in the conventional sense. It was their own form of perverted religion, and actually, it's. If you really examine the tradition in the Catholic Church, it has almost nothing to do with Christianity. It's a total perversion, and it's more of a political system than a political oppression system than anything else. Look at how they pushed large families and all. That's just simply to increase their power, you know. And they've kept these poor Mexicans and Central Americans, South Americans in human bondage for centuries.
Yes, they have, and they do, and Islam does exactly the same thing.
Well, that's right, and of course, you know, the rumors on Islam is that there were that Muhammad died or was murdered partway through, and so that he wrote the good part of the Quran, and there was another evil part of the Quran that was inserted in there to try to debase it, mm-hmm. you know. And
I had this discussion with another guest on the show recently about Ian Greenhall from VT. We're talking about that, that the suspicion is that Muhammad was killed. He wrote the work in Mecca, which is very peaceful. Then on the road to Medina, he was killed. And then the Medina writings were the ones where Islam goes dark.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. But again, it supports this idea that there's a worldwide cult that is trying to take control and consolidate everything under one set of key institutions. And the Vatican has been the number one, if you really look at it, how they, you know, the Khazarian Mafia banks are really the the court Jews originally for the Vatican and the Vatican's bankers. You knew that, right?
Yes, I do. And that's because usury was forbidden by Christians.
That's right.
And it's also forbidden in Islam. So the Islamics still don't practice usury. They look down on it. It's a crime against humanity. But the Jews don't have that prohibition. And so they were forced into, if that's what they say, they were forced into being the money lenders and Shylocks because the Christians couldn't do it. And so, you know, I think it's pretty interesting. And you talk about, you know, the wealth of the world. Look at the Vatican. That's a...
Well, what was that one pope that lived 33 days, maybe 20 years ago?
Pope John Paul.
Right.
And then they had immediately John Paul II.
But you know why they got rid of him is that when he was elected, they said it was kind of a mistake. It was a political error. And he was actually a real Christian, a very rock solid Christian. He said that, hey, he said, we're not going to do the stuff we've been doing before, having people kiss the ring for a big donation, get the blessing of the Pope, you know. And we're going to be selling all of Vatican's art and riches. We're going to clean up the bank. And actually, he had contacted an individual that I know.
Going to open up the library, let people see what's in there.
Exactly, everything. And he wanted to feed the hungry, and he wanted to end hunger in South America and Mexico, and build up, teach them how to farm and all this stuff. Well, anyway, he had contacted an individual that I know, that I've known for years, who's a retired intel guy, to come in and do all this work for him, clean everything up. And it was at that point that when he started talking about cleaning up the Vatican Bank, it was that point that he was murdered. And he took digitalis. He had a slight heart problem. He took digitalis every night. And the clerics that were responsible for it, the cleric that fed him his drugs, they took and they gave him a monster dose. And that's what finished him off. But this guy they could never let him live. He would have destroyed the Vatican as we know it and turned it into what it should have been, a real church concerned about the people.
Well, I'll be willing to bet you within the Vatican Library that's underground and all the, you know, climate control, all that kind of stuff, I'll be willing to bet you that there are manuscripts that go back to the Library of Alexandria.
Oh, sure. And they've also got, you know, 12-foot skeletons under there, too. They know they don't want to tell us anything about that, with big heads and two sets of teeth and red hair. They don't want to talk about any of that, do they?
No, they don't. And allegedly the Smithsonian's been given a few of those as well. Those have found regularly both in North and South America. And the area of Illinois called Cahokia Downs, where the mound builders live.
That's right.
There's a lot of that there. There's a lot of these things that have been, you know, just suppressed. And the real history of mankind has never been told. And we're not allowed to know it. You know, we're supposed to think that we're the Darwinism that we're evolved out of the monkeys, that evolution did it. I'm glad that there's other competing theories out there now. It's I think it's healthy for the race.
Well, look at, there's a locked warehouse for the Smithsonian where they have all this stuff. Can't go in there without special national security clearances.
Not only that, but they were taking stuff out in the Atlantic Ocean and dumping it. Barges full of stuff at the Smithsonian.
And then, of course, you know about when they invaded Iraq, that the first thing they did was attack that museum with special forces, and they got in, blew the safe in the back, and they got in there and took out this huge casket that had a 12-foot thing in there with two rows of teeth and six fingers and toes. Did you ever hear about that?
No, I hadn't heard about that one, but I heard about a lot of other stuff that, you know, part of the reason of going into Iraq was to access their antiquities. I've heard the same thing about Syria.
Now, why would they not tell us about a 12-foot skeleton with a big head with two rows of teeth, six fingers and six toes and red hair? Why would they not want to tell us?
Because they can't explain it given conventional wisdom.
Well, it's because it blows their cover on everything, all the crap they fed us for years. The whole educational system would have to be thrown out, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. And that's, you know, I'm glad to see some of that's coming around. I'm glad to see the article Gordon put up 2 or 3 weeks ago about Maxwell's equations.
And, yeah, that was good. That was really good.
The first two of Maxwell's equations actually explained the concept of gravity. and how to actually make it work and make it function in a beneficial way. So I think these things are good that they're coming out. Like I said, that the whole thing about 12-12-12 was the beginning of lifting of the veil when these things can begin to be known by humanity.
Well, one thing I really think is hilarious is the fact that in the intel agencies have always been able to get funding because they go to the Illuminati, the Khazarian Mafia chiefs, and say, we have this great thing. We can spy for you. We can give you information, databases you can't even imagine. You can profile everybody, and we can help you really manage things. But then it helps us do our job, and then our enemies and whatever, we can get control over them on your behalf. But of course, they always use this thing, this dual or triple purpose here. But we American people aren't totally stupid. So what we have to do is, in order to spy on them the way we want to, we have to give them a free benefit or some privilege that they've never had before, something, a convenience. So then they come out with the original phones were a convenience only for people that were rich or wanted to haul around a box or a mess. Okay, well, now when they got the thing down because of alien ET technology, this is the greatest thing for business and, instant communications and whatever. But there's a hidden reason. The reason it appeared so easily, the reason there was so many billions of dollars funding to put up all these systems supporting it, is because this is the greatest intelligence gathering tool ever conceived. And it's also a mind control tool. So not only is it used to gather intelligence, it's used as a weapon against us. So all these things are triple use, like vaccinations. They put out vaccinations supposedly to help with certain kinds of diseases like polio, which it was never proven to. But then there's always some hidden purpose. Everything they do to help us, like welfare in the inner city, when Lyndon Johnson put the new society program, War on Hunger. Yeah, it was to feed people. It was to, to help them. But it was more to provide money for the drug cartels and the CIA coming in selling drugs in the city. There's always these secondary hidden purposes. Everything that the government does, there's nothing that is done to help the American people in and of itself, Mike. Nothing.
Nope, I understand it. I get it. We can do this to help the American people as long as we can make money off of it.
Exactly. Oh, and this corporate welfare crap, where these corporations, Citizens United, Gordon Duff has talked about that, and he's harped on it, and he's exactly right. That was a major turning point. And then the Supreme Court ruling that a corporation has the rights of a person and free speech. It's insane. I mean, for these companies to give billions of dollars, Hillary Clinton has its war fund of $200 million or whatever. People are giving all this money when she was Secretary of State. Then they get all the weapon transfers and everything they couldn't get otherwise. She's just a CIA puppet bought and sold 24/7. That's why they want her in there. So people want something, they pay for it. But then they get these puppets in power. What are they going to do when they've been given all this money and going to say, sorry, bub, you're out of luck. You gave me the money, now too bad for you. It doesn't happen that way.
Well, that's just it. You have to have the money to give them, and they have effectively bankrupted the American people. And so, okay, the American people have nothing. The wealthy have a lot. And, yep. How do we make the most out of it? How do we gain our footing to have a voice? I mean, we don't even have a voice anymore.
Yeah, I think one of the motivations for Donald Trump, whether he's a good guy or whether he's been compromised or where they've got to, I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. He's smart, though. And he understands that unless he changes the situation, his vast holdings aren't going to be worth squat within 10 years. He's got that one figured out.
Well, I think so, too. And I also think, I'm going to repeat this again. I try to say this often. The most important decision Trump is going to make about his presidency is who he taps as his VP.
That's right.
Because
that's
if it. He taps the wrong guy, like there was talk, he's dead. There was talk about Gingrich.
Oh.
And you put Gingrich in there. Gingrich is the guy who wrote the plan for $300 million. You can buy every state legislature, state senate, every congressional seat, everything coast to coast, the whole country.
That's
and
right.
That's exactly what they did for $300 million. The price has gone up now, but back when it was the contract on America here, that's what the deal was. And so you put a guy like Gingrich in, I mean, or like I was talking Cruz earlier, or any number other of these guys who are compromised, they will be the Lyndon Johnson who does the cover-up after they blow Trump's head off.
That's right.
So Trump has got to be really careful about who he picks to be the VP because his life depends on it. I mean,
it
really does. His life depends on it.
Who would be a good choice for him that would really put the fear of God into these people?
Bernie Sanders.
That's true.
You know, they hate them both, you know, because they're both rocking the boat. They're both making the party jobs difficult. And you know what? I want to crush both parties. I think both parties need to be destroyed, disassembled, broken into 1,000 pieces. And I think a Trump-Sanders ticket would be just the thing to collapse both political parties and get something out there that the people can support, something new, something fresh, something that hasn't been bought and paid for by Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase and Wells Fargo. And to just look at the list of the top 10 donors to both the Democrat and Republican Party, and that's who's calling the shots, folks. We need a new system. We need new political parties. We need new management because this country has been malmanaged since the murder of JFK. And I say malmanaged because mismanagement implies incompetence, and malmanagement directs you to malicious, malevolent management of this country, to the destruction of the country, the culture, and our people. And it's up to us to defend it. We're the last ones. And those of us who aren't drinking and aren't on Xanax or Valium or whatever right now is who it comes down to. It's the people who are numbed out of their minds who aren't going to do a thing. They're going to sit there, you know, just sucking on their thumb, not knowing what to do.
Well, that's right. But I got a question for you. This is something I've thought about for many years is we know that you and I know this, at least there are alien ET entities that have formed associations and treaties and agreements with certain groups. And we know that they have all kinds of advanced weaponry. They have the ability to just walk downtown and just blast everybody and take over. Why haven't they done so? And these are bad people. Some of these alien groups we're talking about are not good entities. Why haven't they done so?
Good question. I don't know.
I guess
because they have other means still available to them, and they don't want to blow their cover.
I've been told by somebody at the periphery of this that they say that there is a God Almighty, maybe not what most people think of him, but there is a God, and that he is just and loving and kind, but he has set rules of play, and he will destroy them. He has actually sentenced them to a certain abode. They have to stay underground. They have to stay out of orbit. They cannot walk among us. If they're going to take over, they have to do it one person at a time by corrupting them. And so
I've got no knowledge, no information on that. That falls in straight with the religious dogma that we've been told for a long time. And, you know, like I said,
don't you find it interesting that why don't they just land and take over the White House? Or why do they have to put in all these complicated situations to consolidate the earth and create a big hierarchy of control?
Yep, I don't know.
See, so anyway, I just find
I don't know. Maybe they're on a strict budget. Maybe they don't have the resources. I mean, you know, there could be a number of things. I mean, you know, one of the things that the CIA does is that if you're going to go run an operation, you've got to be able to fund it yourself. If you're the guy running the operation, you got to be able to make it pay for itself. So I look at this let's say there is a hypothetical alien invasion going on.
Yeah.
They were dropped down here. You're superior beings. You've got technology. You've got lifespan. You've got all these other things working for you. But we're not going to give you any money. You make this thing fund itself. So, you know, here's what you can go do. You blend in with the natives. Don't get caught.
We know that the Soviet Union was a big experiment, a social experiment funded by the makers. We know Nazi Germany was a big experiment. We know Maoist China was a big experiment. And what they wanted to learn was you know, what will work on the American people and the rest of the world, you know, without, they want to do it in a more subtle way. So now what they've done is they've got totalitarian program being rolled out into American people, say, well, it's not so bad. Look, we're not as bad as Nazi Germany. We're not as bad as Russia. It's like the milder form. So people think, oh, that's not so bad. And they've really created a hybrid system of Bolshevism right here that is extremely sinister.
No, I'm not going to argue that one. I think they have. And, you know, I look at all of the means of control over the American people. You want to know a means of control? Try this FICO score thing.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, see, if you're in business for yourself and, you know, you're running your own shop, your FICO score is going to hurt you. The FICO score is directed for the guy who is the corporate drone.
Yeah.
He gets paid the 1st and 15th. He gets direct deposit. He gets you know, all of these things that, you know, then all of his bills, they're already in there. They're already as soon as the money hits, they're all prepaid. He's already tell them to, you know, pay the house payment, you know, pay AT&T, you know, pay your car payment. All this stuff is self-directed. As soon as that money hits the account, it's already spent. That's what they want. They want the perfect corporate drone. But if you have your own roofing company and you're employing, you know, 8 or 10 guys, and you've got two jobs working, and you have to balance your cash flow to suit what your customers pay you, then you're not going to have a perfect FICO score. You know, the FICO score is meant for those who work for others, and
that's
who
right.
It's not meant for the entrepreneur. It's not meant for the guy who's going out and taking risk and you know, putting his shoulder to the wheel to push it every day. It's meant for these people who they've got safe corporate jobs, are safe as they can be. They can get laid off tomorrow. You know, I mean, I remember when Boeing laid off 50,000 workers in a week.
Yeah.
You know, and then how do you stop that? But that's what this is made for. It's made for corporate control. It's made to control everything you do.
Well, yeah, right now we're all in bondage. They've turned us all into debt slaves and servants. Those people that aren't in debt, whatever they have is being eroded at least 10% a year, with no way, unless you have your own business, there's no way to get it back. Retired people are just basically screwed, you know, and it can't go on. There is a complete breakdown point coming, and whether it's in 6 months, 3 months, a year, 2, 3 years, it can't go on forever, Mike. Something's got to give.
Well, it does, and it will. And, you know, the mistake that was made, and this was Bush's mistake. What was that guy who was Secretary of the Treasury, used to work for Goldman Sachs, Secretary of the Treasury?
Rubin?
Under
Robert
Bush.
Rubin?
No, he was Clinton's guy. This was Snow.
Snow, okay.
Snow. I think it was Snow. But when the big banks were failing in 2007 and 8, let them fail.
Yeah.
Let them fail. We've got a process in this country. It's called bankruptcy. And if they mismanage themselves to the effect that they need to have a receiver appointed and to go through the assets and get rid of the ones that don't work or sell off divisions and units and stuff, then by golly, that's what you do.
Yeah.
But no, the crooks on Wall Street influenced our government to pass a bailout and gave these guys almost $1 trillion to save to reward them for their bad business sense.
And it was all illegal. It was completely illegal. The whole thing.
That never stops government. You know this.
No. It's ridiculous. So, yeah, it's a total criminal enterprise top to bottom. You talk about Blakey, who wrote the RICO statutes. This is exactly, you know, 100% match for the RICO statutes.
No, I know it. You know it. But, you know, good luck getting the AG to do anything about it. And we're not going to get Obama's AG to do nothing. She ain't doing nothing for nobody.
I mean, I think.
How come Hillary's not in prison? How come she's not been indicted?
That's right.
I mean, that's right. You know,
well, how about Obama? Why isn't he in prison, you know, for using 59 fake IDs?
Hey, good question. Preston, we're out of time. I want to thank you very much. It's been, as always, an excellent show when you're on. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Bye. Everybody have a good evening. I'll be back on Thursday, and next Tuesday we're going to have Ben Fulford on. So everybody tune in for that, okay? Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.